the cultural tolerance for the nonsense has gone down. Like, we won't tolerate this anymore. And I think it's to the shame of the church that we had to be led by those outside. The church should have led the way in this issue. And we didn't. We're now responding on the back foot when this should have been the first place and the safest place for women.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks, Season 11, Episode Number 29.
Well, welcome to See Hear Love, and our theme today came to my attention while I was scrolling through socials and listening to different podcasts and reading articles that I couldn't believe that young women more than ever are leaving the church based on Barna research. I was like shocked, and it's actually quite a historical moment in history. And to discuss this new change in the church, joining us is Carmen Bachma. Welcome. Pastor, worship arts pastor, former youth pastor, national speaker. You've done all the church.
Yeah. You name the role, I've likely done it at some point. I still am reconciling how I'm old enough to have done it all, but yeah.
I was going to say the same thing. When did you start? But definitely, it's good that you're here because we need some good insight and wisdom into this change. Joanna LaFleur, hi.
Hi.
You have been in church since you were like one. Yeah. Volunteering, essentially.
Yeah.
Doing lots of ministry work in church for so many years.
Yeah.
So you have a bit of a sense of the church and what's going on a little bit. And I know you're also the executive director of WordMe Digital. So welcome.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
And Sunite, psychotherapist, registered psychotherapist, national speaker, but you also have young girls.
Yes.
And so this topic, I think, is going to hit you closely as we think about young women are leaving the church. Mm-hmm. What will that impact and how that impact your young girls as well?
Yep. Yeah.
So welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, let's start off with what has our experiences been like as young women growing up in the church? Because maybe that will give some context and connection with those that are leaving and are contemplating leaving. So Joe, let's start with you.
I would say it was in the church where I was first sort of identified to be a leader and someone who could do something to help other people, like make an impact in other people's lives. But at the same time, I didn't really see women leading. In my context, there were no women staff members or leaders in meaningfully senior positions.
Right.
And so I wrestled with that. There was this phrase, help, I'm a leader stuck in a woman's body. That's how I felt as a girl and a teenager growing up in the church into my early 20s. So it took me a journey to figure out how to find my place.
Okay. Sunite, what about you?
Yeah, I think for me, I've always loved the church. I loved going to church. I always felt a sense of belonging and community in the church. But as I entered my teenage years, there were a lot of issues that I would have with leadership. And when I voiced them, I was usually shut down, rebuked, condemned. And I just thought I had issues. I thought, you know, I have anger issues. Maybe I'm rebellious. And I owned that. And I was okay with that. But I didn't see that as an indication that I had leadership qualities, which I wish was spoken into me. Because again, like Joanna, I didn't see women leading in the church. So that idea was so foreign to me.
Yeah, and for me, it's quite similar. Very fortunate to have grown up in the church and always affirmed along the way with my gifts and my callings and my leadership. But again, the model of women doing that wasn't presented before me. And I think there's a phrase, and I'm going to butcher it, but the fish doesn't recognize the water it swims in. And so for me, I always felt really blessed and really fortunate to be encouraged and affirmed, but thought, this must be it. This must be the only fishbowl that I'm allowed to swim in, and I don't know how to reconcile that with what I think are my gifts and my strengths. So a blessing, but some challenges in the mix.
And I'd agree with you. I mean, I grew up very much affirmed in the church in Asia, lots of women leaders, lots of missionary women coming to speak, and my parents very much affirming in my gifting. When I came to Canada and different denominations, there is a bit of a challenge of leadership and gender. And so there were some challenges growing up when I wanted to, you know, use my gifting and lead and speak, and I was told no. To be on the board, no. But on the other hand, when I went to another church, I was then encouraged to be on the board, to lead and to speak. So I've actually had a mixture of the empowerment, but also the you just can't, and there were blocks. Mm-hmm. So I think this is really a good conversation for all of us to have about why Gen Z women are leaving the church. Let me tell you some statistics from the Barna Research Group. They've said for the first time in recorded history, young women are less religious than young men, and the Gen Z faith trends found that 39% of Gen Z women now identify as religiously unaffiliated, mm-hmm. compared to 31% of Gen Z men. And then over the last 3 years, we've seen women consistently attend church less frequently than men. And Gen Z is actually more spiritually open than any generation. But curiosity and faith is high, but trust in the church, especially in young women, is the lowest it's ever been. Mm. So setting kind of the foundation for that, here are the factors that Barna Research Group came up with, or actually the young women, Gen Z women, said, this is the reason why we have some issues with the church, why we're not going. So I'm going to kind of walk us through them, mm-hmm. get your thoughts, yeah. and then we'll have some further conversation. So the first one is part of the disconnect traces back to the purity culture, mm-hmm. that there was an overemphasis on sexual purity. So everything was focused on physical lives, and they felt their spiritual lives were neglected. Messages around worth and holiness tied exclusively to modesty and abstinence, mm-hmm. rather than discipleship and spiritual formation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll respond to that. I think it's important probably with all of these issues that there's a spectrum of where people may find themselves mm-hmm. in the story, but this is absolutely true. I've heard story after story in my own experience of growing up in the 80s and 90s and this being such a strong emphasis. And I think part of the shame and the loss in that is in our formational years, the things we were taught to form often took priority over what Jesus was inviting us into.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. It became like, as you nail it with the word discipleship.
Yeah.
That somehow things that were more police, it became more like a policing of things we could see rather than like measuring that, as opposed to like, how do you measure character development mm-hmm. and change in a younger person? It's harder to do, but it's easier to go to these as like reference points, and it became overemphasized.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's surprising to hear it because I didn't really see our church as practicing purity culture in this day and age. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's reflective of the sexual liberated world that we live in and how it's so contrasting to the message mm-hmm. in the church. And I'm wondering if that's where the tension comes from for Gen Z.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. All right, next one. Burnout and compassion fatigue. This expectation that women were the built-in force of all things volunteering, and they shouldered the responsibility of children's programs, leading Bible studies, serving, coffee. And Barna's research has said that women now are expressing kind of a compassion fatigue, and they've been the backbone for so long of carrying the church, they are now done.
Yeah, 100% facts.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Women are the backbone of yes. especially volunteers in the church, service in the church. And we've come to a point where women are no longer okay with overextending themselves, no longer okay with burnout. Mm-hmm. Women are living full, beautiful lives, whether or not they're married, whether or not they have children. And that leaves a little bit of space for them to lean into overextending, mm-hmm. to serving, to just being overexhausted and burnt out in the church. And I see both ends of the spectrum. I think it's beautiful that women in the past and in present are willing to volunteer and support. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, is there space for women to have healthy boundaries, to recognize their capacity yeah. while still pouring into the church?
Yeah.
And I think that's a tension that we're seeing.
Good question. Okay, it's good. Politics. Another one, which was surprising. The widening political divide has made the church feel even more alien to many young women. They don't see that their values are reflected in the church, whether it's political leanings or whatnot. That is why some of them are leaving.
Yes. Well, and particularly when churches make a political statement to divide within their own congregation, whichever
yes,
way
yes,
that may be.
Yeah, right.
You know, if you believe this or if you vote this way, you can't be with us.
Right.
I think it's distasteful. Mm-hmm. I also don't think it's really, I think Jesus was he couldn't help but be a political figure, but when politics is brought into the church and it's used as like a like in the same way that the world is using politics. Yeah. I think people have had enough of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Emphasis on marriage and motherhood and not empowering single women. One of the top reasons why young women are leaving the church, and emphasis on marriage and motherhood as spiritual goals and not enough on empowering single women in who we are. Carmen, what about your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would agree. I think, again, there's a spectrum here and everyone might have a different story. But I think what this represents actually is the church having a framework to say, women, this is the way you must fit. Mm. And so often, whether it has been over volunteering and over serving and making the church run, or whether it's been in what is your identity? And so often there's been a marriage of what there's an interpretation of in scripture about what makes a woman a woman. Mm-hmm. Let's all go to Proverbs 31, and I say that very tongue in cheek, to what we must then exemplify. And that's been done to the detriment of a diversity, a beautiful diversity of what women can be and what they can bring, including in the relationships that they must have, not to mention the grief that likely exists for those who long for those things, who can't have them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well said.
Well said.
Well said. Next one, changing relationship dynamics. Men always tend to be the leaders. And now we're having, like what you said earlier, that women have gifting in leadership, communication, strategy, and vision. So there's this changing dynamic. And women are saying, if I can't use my gifting in this way, leading, being on the board, it doesn't line up with what's happening outside of the church where I'm doing those things and empowered to do so. Thoughts?
Yes, I think there are churches that fall on a few places on that as an issue of women in leadership. And so I think that's where we need to disciple in the work of understanding the theology, like how to read the scripture.
Yes.
And there might be a few really valid ways that we could conclude, but I think some of it is more, rather than it just being like, well, out there I can do this and in here I can't, maybe... How do we help all of our people, and women, if you're wrestling with this issue, understand why does this church or denomination feel this way about the topic, and getting a deeper understanding, as opposed to we can't always have things the way we want. you know, there are going to be things about church that are different than the world. Yeah. And also at some fundamental level, if you're in a place where you've done the work and you feel still like you can't do what the Lord's asked of you, there are other places you can go in and serve and do that.
Yeah. Okay. Church scandal, sexual abuse, moral failures, cover-ups. Is the church safe for women? Yeah. We're all like, one of the top reasons women say they're leaving the church. Mm-hmm. Our thoughts on that?
I think we take a collective pause because there's such a heaviness and grief because it is true and it is real. And there's no denying that, particularly in today's day and age, what is coming to light is more and more stories of brokenness, scandal, abuse of power. And so often, and I wish I had the statistic for this, it is harming women in ways that are probably more broad than they are for the men. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to reckon with that statement that the church likely does not feel safe. And that's something to sit with. But the truth of the matter is there unfortunately continue to be brokenness and scandal. And we have a lot of work to do to walk that through to a place of healing.
And if I may add to that, I think the cultural tolerance for the nonsense has gone down. Like, we won't tolerate this anymore. And I think it's to the shame of the church that we had to be led by those outside. The church should have led the way in this issue. And we didn't. We're now responding on the back foot when this should have been the first place and the safest place for women. We see how Jesus treated women, and it's not, it's a very safe place. And so it's to our shame, I think, that the world, quote unquote, has said to us, me too, and we won't tolerate this anymore. And now the church is is on its back foot on this issue when we should have led the way.
And on the outside, it looks like we're turning our back on the church. But I think when we're saying this is not right and we are reducing our tolerance for that, we are saying no to sin. And we have to name that, right? We are the church, whether or not we're in a building or not. But it is sin that we're choosing to say no to and that we're not going to tolerate anymore.
That's good. And then final last one is this thought of belonging matters more than conformity. If my friends aren't welcome at church, then they don't want to be at church either.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
I mean, I find I can think of a name and a face for each one that you've brought up. Mm-hmm. But when I think of this one, it is it's a challenging issue for people to wrestle with. Do I want to go to a church where I would be nervous about inviting a certain friend mm-hmm. because they may be judged here in some way? And I think that's a huge question. And then again, we have to go, what is my theology? What do I think about this? What does the Bible say about mm-hmm. this? We have to wrestle with these issues. Mm-hmm. And then, could I bring a friend here? Mm-hmm. Or how do I bring a friend here? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And belonging matters more than conformity is what they actually were speaking of.
Yes, which I think speaks so much to, and I think we're going to get to this a little bit later, but the desire of women, the desire of young women, as they come to know themselves better, is to be seen mm-hmm. and is to be known. Mm-hmm. And when there's such a relational emphasis that we have as women, we want that to be true of anyone that we love and that we care for mm-hmm. and in the space that we have. And so often the words of Jesus point us to that. Mm-hmm. And so church should be the place that there is welcome for all.
So good. So appreciate Barna Group's research on this. And I know there's a lot to process here. Well, the statistics shouldn't make us afraid, mm-hmm. right? I don't want it to be a downer. What it should do is help us to reimagine, mm-hmm. think of new ways, look introspective at ourselves and this church, Big C, and what we can do mm-hmm. to ensure that young women feel empowered, that they feel seen, heard, and loved, that there is a place for them. So let's talk about that. What can we do, the church do, to ensure and help young women in all the needs and issues that they have?
Yeah, I think one of the things, there's many answers to this question. One of the things the church really has to take accountability for is to take a look at the systemic framework that they have in place, because best intentions don't always make their way into action. Mm-hmm. And so we can say with all of our heart that we want this to be a space for young women to flourish. But if the system that we have in place doesn't allow for that or has barriers in place, we have to ask those questions. Questions like, who's missing around this table? Mm-hmm. What voices aren't in the room? Mm-hmm. What is communicated when someone walks into our building? Who are they seeing represented on the stage and in our ministries? Mm-hmm. That's a start.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Snai, what about for you?
Yeah, I think we need to create those spaces where we can repair, that we can reconcile, and that can look like formal spaces, but also informal spaces. I think it's easy to ignore that person that has left because they have an issue with you or they are disgruntled. It's easy to say, oh, they're just upset. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a lot harder for us to actually engage in meaningful dialogue and spaces. We have to remember that we are human, you know, and even though people might be upset or not happy with something, there's still that tenderness, there's still a longing, there's still an unmet need that we know that the church can meet. Mm-hmm. And so how do we create those spaces, recognizing that us as individuals are the church and we don't have to wait for the formal body to do something for us to bridge that gap and treat people like they're actually children of God mm-hmm. and that we can help them meet this real need.
What I appreciate about things like the Barna data that we've just talked about is Barna's good at listening and we all need to be better listeners. Like what is the feedback that we're receiving? Mm-hmm. And with all feedback, it can either help us change or say, you know, I hear your feedback and actually I'm going to continue in this direction. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can choose what to do with the feedback, but are we hearing and listening to the feedback? Mm-hmm. And I think in the context of that, in order to hear it, it probably implies relationship, like discipleship relationships. Mm-hmm. How are we as older women connected to younger women and girls in our community and men as well? But this idea of like, what is our shared responsibility to listen and to build up the younger ones coming up after us, mm-hmm. younger women, that we get to help shape what that is and create those spaces for them to be heard.
Yeah. And I think also, what is the purpose of church?
Yeah.
Like, I think, sit back and go, you know, why do we go to church?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is the purpose? Why was the church created? Mm-hmm. You know, there, you know, and I feel it about the volunteering. But part of church, too, is serving.
Yeah.
Is serving others. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is serving the poor, serving those that can't, you know. So it's this balance of, like, yes, don't overdo it and then be disgruntled. But there's a part of serving. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that that's important. I think, you know, here it says, and I want to say this, says the data suggests they're not rejecting the church.
Yes.
And this is what it's saying. They're rejecting the church's failure to engage them in meaningful ways. They're skeptical of empty platitudes. Mm-hmm. They're exhausted by unpaid emotional labor. Mm-hmm. And they want a faith that actually connects with their real lives, not just a repackaged version of their grandmother's church.
Mm. I'm hearing things like, it feels transactional. Yeah. You want me for what I can do for you.
Yes.
You don't want, like this idea of burnout.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing to serve, but if I'm only as good as
what I can
being needed to, giving, to do as a person who serves, if I came and never volunteered in your kids ministry for a while because I was going through my own life, am I still valuable? Am I still heard? Am I, you know, am I still part of this community if I'm not just like being used?
And I wonder if we've lost the art of relationships, because a lot of churches, even this platform, you know, we focused on parasocial relationships. So we form relationships with other people on these social platforms, online, through podcasts. And, you know, we feel connected because we're liking someone's picture or we know that they just had a baby, but we are not connected. Mm-hmm. And I think we're also falling into that trap of feeling connected when we're not. But what these younger generation is saying is, like, we actually want authentic relationship. We do want those spaces where we can have difficult conversations, but are we creating those spaces?
Right.
Are we undermining that this, what we're doing here is great on a large scale, but it doesn't work when there is hurt, when people are navigating discomfort, vulnerability, unmet needs, it doesn't work. And so how can we also pour into meaningful relationships in our churches?
Yeah, and Carmen, as a pastor, like what are you having to navigate in this space? Like, are you seeing this within your church as well?
Yeah, I would say for certainly I have seen this. And I think maybe I'm just like a broken record, but we have a role to play to ensure that just because it's worked in the past doesn't mean it's the system and the model that we need to have going forward. And I think that is what we're hearing from young women. These are the reasons why. Because actually that model probably worked quite well a few decades ago, and there was growth and there was flourishing. Mm-hmm. The chapter has now turned to a new one, and we have to say, is how we're doing church allowing for there to be deep discipleship and deep formation? Mm-hmm. And if we have a section of our population that says, I'm out, then something is broken and something isn't working. So there is an accountability on the church level. And something else I just want to say as a pastor is the invitation is that we have to sit in a space that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because when you take risks and when you try new things and when you allow those that maybe haven't yet led or served an opportunity to do so, it comes with a risk, but it is a risk well worth taking. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the work the church has to do to open the doors wide for young women to say, this is a space we want you to be.
Mm. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if I can jump in, because you've used the word risk, and I'm trying to contrast that with this idea of safety.
Right.
So, and this is where I'm wondering if a psychotherapist could because this idea of when we say the word safety, we mean a particular kind of safety, like maybe an emotional
psychological safety.
Could you share like maybe what is it that they're looking for? Because it's not that they don't want to take risks and be bold and like in their faith, but what is the kind of safety they're saying they're worried isn't there?
Yeah.
Like, what is
I think it's psychological safety, you know. I think women recognize that when I bring up that I've been hurt, when I bring up abuse, I know historically that there will not be support and that I am risking my belonging, my place in my community, I'm risking being ostracized, not being believed, and women don't want to take that risk. But I think this younger generation are generally a little bit more riskier, you know? And so they're not going to take the risk with actually having the conversations, but they will take the risk of their faith, which is scary. Yes. Yeah. And they will just not come to church anymore as a way to protect themselves. And I think it also impacts how they relate to other people relationally in the church because of that lack of safety. So now I can rely on maybe my friends outside of the church to have these conversations with, because I know there's guaranteed safety there. Whereas within the church context, there might not be that.
Yes.
Okay, a young woman is like, I'm in the church and I want to leave. What do we say to her? Because again, the purpose of the church is it's good. It's gathering, it's worship, it's giving, it's serving, it's being together in celebration, it's the sacraments, it's baptisms, it's family, it's all the good things that we desperately long for, which is the way of love, the way of Jesus. That's what he invites us into. And here we have young women going, well, we're not seeing that. That's not reflective here. So this church might not be the one. What would you say?
Yeah.
Give it another chance, go to another church. What would we say to her?
There's a lot I could say on this. I would say a few things. I would say to a young woman, you actually have agency. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
You have agency. And what that means is twofold. You have agency and choice to decide where you want to take your faith and where you want to land in a church community. But with agency also comes responsibility to say, what baggage might I have? What harms and hurts do I have that are preventing me from seeing the goodness that the church holds? Mm. And I don't say that dismissively. Those are real things to process and hold. Mm-hmm. But hold on to your agency on both sides and reckon with what you need to so that when you step into church, you can see the beauty of what God intends with it. Mm-hmm. I would also say every reason that you likely have for saying I'm stepping away is real and true and valid. Mm-hmm. And I've sat with many friends who have said, I can't go because of this, and I have to nod my head. And yet at the end of the day, the church is the bride of Christ. Mm-hmm. And we have work to do to ask Jesus, what is your intention for the church? Mm-hmm. And that might mean looking for the one that fits. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be where you are if you don't feel safe. You don't have to stay. But don't give up on the church because of the issues that have held you back.
Yeah.
Mm.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, there are reasons to stay when it's hard, too.
Yes.
You know, I think maybe some of that is with wise counsel and prayer. Like, I think, you know, if you can't see clearly, who are the, like, people who have always loved and led you in the right directions, you know, in the past. What are all those voices saying if you're having trouble seeing?
Yeah,
what are they saying? And if they're saying, like, you got to get out of here, you should probably pay attention to that.
Right.
Because maybe they're seeing more clearly than you. And then the other way, there might be cases where actually you're called to stay and be part of that change.
Yeah. Mm. So good.
Right.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really good advice. Any last thoughts, Sinai?
Yeah.
As you have young girls.
Yeah, I think it's important for parents to start having those conversations with their children. I think we cannot be afraid of having those challenging dialogues, of allowing our kids to ask the hard questions, allowing our kids to say, like, I don't like church. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go to church. Yeah. Why do we go to church? Why do we worship? I think when we create those spaces as they get older, they know that they can come to you with wise counsel and with adequate support.
Yeah. Amazing. Joanna, Carmen, Sinai, thank you so much for this good, deep, meaningful conversation. So appreciate the work that you're doing in the church, how you're following Jesus and loving him. So thank you so much. And for more information on our shows, guests, events, podcasts, Bible study resources, go to seeherlove.com. We'd love for you to join our community. And as you struggle with church, as you have questions, as you've been disappointed, and as you think about what does it really mean to follow Jesus in the way of love, always know this, that you are seen, you are heard, and you are deeply, deeply loved by God. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye-bye.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for joining See Here Love with Melinda Esterbrooks. This podcast is a Crossroads Media production. Until next time, always remember, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved by God.